The scripture this morning is going to come out of 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. It is a story that no doubt many of us have heard, maybe some of us have preached from, but it's the story of David and Bathsheba. It's the story of, you know, God's anointed man falling into sin with Bathsheba, them having a kid and the kid dying. And then David, the Bible says, gets up, wipes himself off, washes his face, and he goes and eats. What I want to focus on this morning is, yes, we always focus on the sin of David, but what caused that sin? What caused David to be in that situation? And I want to encourage us this morning to know that when we say that God will direct your paths, yes, that's a saying that we hear probably a lot of times, but it's something that we can take faith in, we can take it to heart literally, and there's benefits inside of that. So the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, your version may say war, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Verse 3, so David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Last verse, verse 4. Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. So the story basically says that, listen, David was at home when the Bible is very clear right here. It says in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle or to war, King David was obviously a king, and he should have been going out to war, but the Bible says that he was on his housetop, walking around, doing his own thing. He spotted this beautiful woman, and he sent for her. So a lot of people, everybody definitely agrees that, David took the wife of another man. Most people, most scholars would agree that David could have or did commit rape because Bathsheba didn't have a choice in the matter. Back then, when the king called to you, you came. And you came or you paid with your life, period. So the Bible says that he knew her, and even he knew that this was the wife of another man, and he still lay with her, and then he sent her back to her house. And we know the rest of the story, that he calls Uriah, and he tells Uriah to go lay with his wife. He refuses to because he's a man of honor. He gets Uriah drunk, and he says, listen, go lay with her again. He says, listen, I can't lay with her when my brothers are out in the field, they're out in the battle doing the things that you've commanded us to do. And the Bible says that eventually David got a plot, and he told one of the captains to let Uriah go to the front lines and get him killed. So in these very, very few verses, David committed adultery, David committed probably rape, and David committed murder. And we look at that, and we look at the fall of David, and yes, the Bible can teach us many, many things. Probably one of the greatest things that I believe in the scripture that we could learn from the first two verses up until this morning, I thought that we could learn that we should never be in an idle place. And I agree with that. A lot of people say that an idle mind is the devil's playground. And brothers and sisters, this morning, when we stay still, when we stay stagnant, when we don't do the things that God is encouraging us and wanting us to do, then yes, certain things can happen in our lives. I know in the natural, when air gets stagnant, when water stands still, you start to have a bunch of different things happen. You can have, you know, water damage. You can have, I was talking to my friend the other day, and you can have mold, and you can have these things, and they can, you know, start out to be a really, really small problem, but if left unattended, they can destroy a house. And brothers and sisters, it's the same for you and I. When we allow our minds to be stagnant, when we don't worship the Lord or read the Word of God or talk to brothers and sisters in the Lord or confess our faults one to another, then we're becoming stagnant. We're becoming like King David in this scripture, and I don't want to beat King David down too much because I know for me personally that happens in my life. Sometimes when I know I should be doing something or I know I should be helping somebody or going somewhere or whatever it may be, I choose to walk around the house. And King David chose to walk around the rooftop. He chose to stay in a place that he knew he shouldn't have been in. And I want to encourage you and I this morning to know that if we're in a place of depression, then that's not a place that you or me should be in. If we're in a place of feeling sorry for ourselves and woe is me and everybody else has more and feeling sorry for ourselves, and I want to encourage you this morning to know that that's not a place that you and I should be in. The Bible is extremely clear when it calls us kings and priests and saints before the Lord. The Bible is extremely clear when it says that Jesus died as much for you as he did for me. He died as much for mama and them as he did for me, or my dad as much as he did for me. The Bible is extremely clear that God doesn't have favorites, that the blood of Jesus redeems you and I. So this morning when King David is walking around doing the things that King David shouldn't be doing, yes, he is susceptible to this woman bathing. But what I want to focus on is what caused him to fall into this sin that later led on to rape, that later led on to murder, was his eyes. He looked upon something and he desired it. Brothers and sisters, the world is throwing absolutely everything that they have at you and me and our kids. These smartphones, these iPads, these advertisements of men or women and wearing basically nothing. The world's throwing everything that they have at you and me. And the only way for us to have victory, the absolute only way for us to come out of this on the other side, is we've got to be in the right place at the right time. And when the Bible says that it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, what really sticks out to me is that the kings must go out to battle, meaning there must be movement, meaning they can't stay in the same place. They can't fight the battle from their house. They can't fight the battle from their bedroom being depressed. They can't fight the battle from under the covers. They can't fight the battle not being willing to be in a place that maybe they've never been before. So I encourage you and me this morning to know that God is sending us out. He may not send all of us out to preach to a congregation, and Lord knows I'm fine with that. He may not send all of us out to go preach to millions and millions of people, and Lord knows I'm okay with that. But what if God is sending you and me out to preach to our wives, to preach to our husbands, to preach to our children or our grandchildren? Or what if he's sending you out to preach to your neighbor, even though that neighbor can't get it all together? Brothers and sisters, there is encouragement from the Lord this morning that it's time to go out. It's time to move. We have to cause movement to happen in our lives so that our minds don't become stagnant. We've got to go out because that makes us prepare. How many of you this morning, if I said, hey, can somebody go, well, for the sake of the conversation, if I say, hey, Brother Kevin, do you want to go have brunch with me? Which I know Brother Kevin's going to love that question. But if I say that to him, or if I say, hey, you want to go throw some cornhole, how many of us this morning would just jump out of bed and go? Probably none of us, except maybe my son and daughter. Most of us would brush our teeth. We would wash our face. We may take a shower, iron our clothes, get our clothes. We would prepare for the situation. We would prepare for the movement. We would prepare to go out. Sometimes when God's wanting to send us out, if we've not prepared, if we've not gotten ready, if we've not made up in our mind the things that we know to be true, then when we go out, things can move us. How many of you know people in your lives that on Monday they may love the Lord, but on Tuesday they may believe something else? Or Wednesday they may believe this, and Thursday they may believe this. But I guarantee you, as many people as you know like that, you know some people that no matter if mama and them or daddy and them or brother or sister or cousin and them got a cancer diagnosis, they stand before you and they say, God is good. I have people in my life that I've seen their kid die. I've seen them go through all sorts of hell in their life, and they still stand before me and they tell me, God is good. How in the world are they able to say that to me? Because there's movement on the inside of them. Because the Bible says that it was spring of the year, and that's a time that kings go out to war. Well, what does spring represent? What do you and me do when spring happens? A lot of us may plant seeds. A lot of us may have a farm or a garden or whatever it may be, but springtime represents life. It represents a rebirth. It represents a time of year that there's hope in the air, because most people don't do a lot of moving in the winter. A lot of times people don't move around because it's cold. God knows my wife absolutely hates the winter. It's a time that maybe we don't move around as much. But the Bible says in the spring of the year that a time when kings go out to war. And I began to talk to God about it. And I'm like, God, why is it so important that you said that? God, why were you so specific? Because you could have easily told in the scripture that David went on his rooftop and, you know, the story happened the way it did. But before that, you said, listen, it was the springtime of year. It was the time of year that kings go out to war. And in verse 2, it says that David sent Joab and his servants and all of Israel to go out and fight. And not only did they go out to fight, but they destroyed the people of Ammon and they besieged Rabbah. So as I listened to the Lord and I'm like, Lord, I understand it was the springtime, that it represented life, that you know, it was a good time to go out. And God whispered in my ear earlier this morning, he said, but look at it a different way. And I was like, Lord, I'm looking at it at every angle I could possibly think of. And I'm trying to do research. There's not a lot on this matter. And earlier this morning, he told me that, listen, he said, look at what I provided. And I was like, okay. So I started at verse 1 and went through it again. And in the spring of the year, that would be a time that the grass is beginning to grow again. So I believe that represents that God was making a path for David. It was a time of year that the weather went from the winter chill and it began to warm up. I believe that that's showing us that God was making sure that not only his paths were created, that his paths, that he was protected on his path. He didn't have to worry about outside events. He didn't have to worry about other things going on in the world because God was heating the situation up. And then I believe when God told me to look at it, he also said, listen, another thing that springtime represents is that, listen, people have to have a vision. You see, and in the year when it's time to harvest in the crops, if you didn't do the work in the spring, then you don't have anything to harvest. If you didn't put in the time watering, the time planting, the time cultivating the soil, the time getting things ready, then you can't expect to harvest. Brothers and sisters, how many of us are not planting? How many of us are not watering? Because the Bible says that some should sow the seed, some should water the seed, but it is only God himself that will bring the increase. Brothers and sisters, we have to have a vision. We have to be able to see what we want before it comes into fruition. But if we're not willing to know that we expect something from God, if we're not willing to put ourselves in a situation that we can say, okay, God, this is what I desire, this is what I want, then we'll get into a stagnant place in our life. Because if we're not moving, then we're idle. There's not a lot of middle ground here. We're either movers or shakers, or we're staying still. And I thank God this morning that he's given us an opportunity for us to move with the Spirit of the Lord. Because I believe God's telling us it's the spring of the year. And it doesn't have to be the spring in the natural, because God promises us to take deserts and make rivers there. He promises that there will be crooked places and he'll make every one of them straight. Do not be bound by a season that somebody's placed on your life. I do definitely believe we go through seasons in our life, but I also believe that God is the God of the season. I believe that when Jesus looked at that fruit tree, that fig tree, and it didn't bring forth fruit, even though the Bible says it was not time for it to bring forth figs, I believe Jesus condemned it because in the measure of his glory and being that close to Jesus, he thought and he knew that it should bring about a fruit. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I don't care what you did this morning. I don't care what you did yesterday. I have good news. God is calling us to move with him. God is calling us to plant with him. But most of all, God is calling us to a vision. He's wanting us to see something we've never seen before. He's wanting us to see harvest of souls that we've never seen before. But if we're standing on the rooftop, then we can't be out ready to go to battle. We have to make a choice this day. We can either move with the Lord or we can stay on the rooftop. If we stay on the rooftop, the cares of the world will beat us down. We'll see a Bathsheba or we'll see something that will draw us away from the Lord. And in closing this morning, and man, it hit me like a minute before I got on here. That's why I was like 3 minutes later or whatever, because it blew me away. I never paid attention to verse 2. When the Bible says that King David sent out Joab and all Israel to go and conquer Ammon, and they besieged Rabbah. The Bible didn't say not only did he send them out, but that they destroyed these places, that they took control of these places. And I was like, God, how in the world did I miss it? Brothers and sisters, not only did the Bible say that it was a time of year that King David was supposed to go out to war, but exactly what King David set his men to go out and do, they accomplished. God wants you to know that victory is ahead of you. Victory is ahead of you and I because he has made everything on purpose. He's made this message on purpose. He's put faith in you on purpose. He died for you on purpose, and he resurrected for you on purpose. Everything that God sets out to do, God will accomplish. The question is, are you and me going to be on the rooftop or are we going to be moving in the fields? Are we going to be on the rooftop or are we going to be out there conquering things for the glory of God? And this morning, I want to be out there conquering things because I know that the grass is green. I know that there's hope. I know that God has given me an expected end. Yes, sometimes I may fall, but I can move towards God. There's absolutely nothing that you or me can do that should keep us from the love and mercy and grace of the Lord. If you tell me your sin's keeping you away from him, I'm telling you and I'm encouraging you to get to God with your sin. Get to God with your everything that you lack, everything that you desire. Get to God no matter what it is. Because when you get so close to God, then depression has to go away. When you get so close to God, then unbelief has to fall away. And I believe this morning that's what God is wanting to share with you and me, that it is a time of year for kings to go out to battle, and you and me are kings. The greatest lie the enemy will ever tell you or me is he will convince us that we are not kings. He will convince us that we are not saints. He will convince us that we are not victorious and that we are heirs to the kingdom of God. There's greatness on the inside of you. There is wonder on the inside of you. There is love on the inside of you. There's passion and overcoming, and it is all given by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moves in the beginning in Genesis. The Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. You have to understand the Spirit of God does not stand still. He moves and he quickens and he encourages and he redeems this morning. And I honor God this morning that we can be, I don't care what we did before this message, that we can be people that will move with the Spirit of the living God. And what I love probably more than anything is David became stagnant. David sat on the rooftop. David committed murder, rape, adultery. He failed God. His kid died, and the Bible says that David wiped himself off and got back up and served the Lord. And then many generations later, we understand that Jesus came through the lineage of David and Bathsheba. Brothers and sisters, that's to encourage us this morning to let us know that God has not given up. God has not failed us. God will not fail us, and God will not give up on you and me. And that is the message of hope. That is what will get me off the rooftop. That is what will make me move with the Spirit of the living God. This morning, I encourage you, and I ask God to not allow us to feel condemned or beat up, but that we can know that we can go out and fight the battles of the Lord, because He's made the grass green, because He's protected us with warm weather, He's given us provision, and most of all, God has provided a way through His Son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You this morning that we are not condemned. I thank You that our sin will not hold us back from You, that God, no matter what we may do or not do, that we're still coming after You. God, we're coming to seek You. We're coming after You with everything that we have, because we know that You love us and You forgive us and You are a good, good Father. God, I thank You this morning that You're exactly who You say You are, that You've not given up on us and You're not disappointed in us, that we can still come to You, that we can still receive Your love and Your forgiveness. And I thank You, God, that there are appointed times and appointed seasons in each one of our lives. But I thank You, God, that if we miss the time, if we miss the season, that You can still bring us forward. You can still conquer everything in our lives. You can still love us and redeem us. God, You're good. You're awesome. And I thank You that You are full of grace and love. So this morning, I pray for my brothers and sisters that hear this message, God, that they'll be encouraged, that they'll know that, yes, maybe some of us are depressed, or maybe some of us are disappointed, or some of us are frustrated. But God, You are the God of those emotions. God, redeem Your people. God, strengthen Your people. And Lord Jesus, I pray that You will call us to greatness. And I pray that we'll be able to meet You there. And I pray that we'll be able to sit with You there. And we'll be able to learn from You and experience Your love on the daily. We believe these things done by faith in You. And God, we give You glory and praise because You deserve it all. In Jesus' name, amen.